It's a Monday, so that means it's time for the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. This is the site that will save you time and money. They have great trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit each and every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. So when it comes time for the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation, this is going to be one of your first stops, and it's going to make that next vacation that much better. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1123 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And yes, it is a five-day work week. I know that sounds horrible, but we're going to make it through. And we're going to start it off here by talking Disney and having a great time. And we're going to go back again to Marathon Weekend, but talk about what the entire experience is like, you know, where we're staying, what kind of stuff we're doing, getting up early in the morning, having great fun, and joining me today here on a Monday to kick off your week, my good friend Rich from West Virginia. How's it going, Rich?
I'm doing pretty good.
Glad to have you on the show, and thanks for pinch hitting. We had a cancellation, and you stepped up to the plate within 3 minutes. You got to love that dedication, so thanks a lot for coming on. All right, well, let's talk about this trip. We were down there at the same time, Marathon Weekend, a couple of weeks ago, so we have a fresh trip to talk about. So let's kind of get some of the details. When did you go down, and who did you travel with?
Okay, I went down on the Thursday of Marathon Weekend, so that would have been the 5K day, right? So I did not participate in the 5K. So left Pittsburgh Airport, about 5 o'clock flight, got into Orlando about 8 o'clock. I was there with my sister. It was her first trip without her husband and son, and it was my first trip actually traveling with somebody other than traveling with my mother for her 75th birthday a few years ago. So she had passed a couple of years ago, and my sister, Laura is her name, Laura and I decided, let's go ahead and do Marathon Weekend just as a sibling trip. So it's something that we've never done before.
That's a cool idea.
We got into Orlando on Thursday, and we just stayed at Fort Lee Riverside.
That's a cool idea, though, the sibling trip thing. You know, I think my sister and I might kill each other, but, you know, different situations for her. But I love her, but I don't know if we could travel together very well. But now, tell me about the planning of this trip. When did you guys kind of start to get it in the works? Because something with when it's associated with a running weekend, typically the planning has to be a little further out than most vacations. So how did that go with the planning, and how did you decide to land at Riverside?
So the planning actually started right after the Dark Side half marathon weekend that I went to back in April. And I was so excited about this. I would tell her, hey, you need to get into this. And pretty much the booking, the window came open to get into the marathon weekend event came up a week or two after the half Dark Side half marathon weekend. So I said, Lord, let's go ahead and do this. She just started into running. So she made an admission for, the past 9 months to really get into shape to do a 10K. And myself, I finished the half marathon at Darkside. I'm thinking, I could actually do a marathon. I'm like, that's going to be my next mission. So let's go ahead and do the marathon in January.
That's so cool, too, because the thing is, you know, for folks that, and I know we're not going to focus all on running today because I know you've probably gotten a lot of running talk on all the Disney podcasts over the last couple of weeks, but I will tell you that it is pretty amazing that when you plan for a Run Disney event, and just like kind of any other Disney vacation, you get a lot of time to get excited for it, looking at pictures, you know, looking at restaurant menus, hotel views, and all that kind of stuff, which is fun. But when you have a running event at the end, kind of what you're looking forward to, you have a reason to get out there a few days a week, pound the pavement, and kind of improve your body, make yourself into a more healthy person. And that sounds like exactly, you know, you dangled that carrot of getting to go down to Walt Disney World for marathon weekend, but also challenging yourself because a full marathon is no small feat. So congratulations to you. It sounds like you really enjoyed the journey.
Oh, yes. It was just incredible when finishing up towards the last turn of Epcot. I'm just hearing, I saw somebody else called it the bowling place, and I'm like, it really was. Yeah,
that is amazing. I can tell you that. I still remember my first marathon. I couldn't believe I made it to that line, and it's something I will never forget for the rest of my life, and how many people helped me get there, too. So, well, let's kind of jump back. Let's talk about Riverside, one of my favorite places to land, one of the moderate resorts down at Walt Disney World, sister resort of French Quarter there on the Sasagula River. What were your thoughts of staying at Riverside?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, we checked in about 9 o'clock. I did the online check-in, say, I want a first floor room because I'm not climbing any stairs, and I prefer a corner room. So we went out to, we didn't get the room right away. We went out to the expo, stayed out till about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock at the expo, went back to the resort, and the room still wasn't available. And in the past, I've gotten rooms like, as soon as I got off the plane, I'm like, my notification on my phone says, I got a room wherever I'm staying at. But this time was a little different. And so we went up to the desk to ask, could there be a room available? Because we've been at the airport since like 3 in the morning. And she just punched up the numbers, made phone call or whatever, and got the Alligator Bayou room, I think in building 16, first floor. I'm like, awesome, good. I always wanted to stay at Alligator Bayou. Previously, I stayed at Riverside, got one of the very far mansions, so I was very pleased with the room, and it was pretty close to the main building as well.
I'm glad you share that, because I've stayed at Riverside 3 or 4 times now. We've always stayed in the mansion area, because my wife and daughters tend to like the princess, the royal rooms, the royal guest rooms, which are fun. They have the, you know, fireworks and stuff in the headboards. But I'm intrigued by Alligator Bayou myself, because I like to run at Riverside. So you run this loop and you run through Alligator Bayou, past the mansions, down to French Quarter. But I find it, in, you know, we've talked about this here on the podcast, very rustic, you know, almost like overgrown, but also in a, you know, it's a great description, kind of like what I would picture the Louisiana Bayou to look like. And it intrigues me. So what about it? You said you wanted to stay there. What was the feel? What did you think while you were there?
Well, like I said, the room was pretty close. The inside of the room, you have the bedstands. The bedstands made of wood. And then there's the little trundle bed that has, I believe, an alligator on it. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but that was kind of neat, that little trundle bed. So we'd use that, put our luggage on, since there wasn't a luggage stand in the room, so that was the perfect place to put luggage on. Few sinks, you know, the actual bathroom part's kind of small, but really not spending too much time in there other than taking a bath.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Cool. So, okay. And like I said, it's a great place. It's got a great food court, got entertainment with Yeehaw Bob Wednesday through Saturday nights. And, you know, you got the great pool area, Sasagula River. You really can't ask for more in a moderate resort. So, and it, did you feel it was, because you were there during a Run Disney weekend where you're trying to get to the marathon, get to the expo and so forth. Did you find transportation to be adequate for you guys, or better or less?
Oh, yeah, because it's basically right across from Epcot, just making a loop, using the transportation for the race. probably a little longer to get to the expo. Yeah, but this time I really didn't think we spent wasted much time picking a bus to the expo or to the parks or even to the race.
That's awesome.
Or
that's...
even coming back.
Yeah, good to hear, because because with those transportation on a race weekend, you do want to consider that, because you are going to, if you don't rent a car, and a lot of times it's easier not even renting a car, just taking Disney transportation because of the way they can get around, is that you want to consider, am I in a good spot? Am I kind of centrally located? And like you said, Riverside is near Epcot, which is good. So let's talk about, you guys get there, you get your room finally, you're down in Alligator Bayou. How do you go about the weekend? Because with a running weekend, again, you don't want to wear yourself out. Like you said, you didn't want to climb any stairs. So how did that go for you? How did you guys go about, once you got there, and having a good time on vacation, but also saving yourself for the runs?
That's what I was trying to think. You really want to go to Walt Disney World. You got the, want to go to the park, run around the park, but I got an annual pass now, and I'm thinking, this is my third trip in a year. We're going to do a fourth trip in April with my sister and her husband and son in April. So I'm not going to go ahead and rush to go through and see everything. I'm just going to take my time, or we're going to take our time. When we don't see this trip, we'll go ahead and see the next trip.
That's the best kind of attitude to have, especially for a race week. That's the joy of having an annual pass and knowing that you're coming back, because there's that, I did the dopey, and I caught myself trying to do everything, and I knew I wasn't supposed to. I know, but I've done the dopey before. I know that I should be chilling out, but then we're all down there. We have a good time. So even if you're not running to a park, you're running to another resort to see friends or to have a meal with somebody that you never get to see. So it is a huge temptation. So let me ask you this, because hopefully people are learning from this, from just planning regular vacations or a run vacation. Maybe you're doing Dark Side coming up in April, Princess coming up here next month. How was it as far as logistically getting to the expo, getting all your stuff, getting yourself ready for a race weekend? Because you got to get those logistics, like getting your bib, getting your shirts, signing your waivers, all that. Everything went fine with that?
I'll tell you, the time that we went was probably 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on that Thursday. And it wasn't crowded at all. So we figured that a lot of people would be, if they're doing the dopey, they'll come. They were coming in on Wednesday to pick up all their materials. But we did not wait in any lines to get our bibs. The Dawson Center, that was fairly crowded in there, but when is it during an expo there? So no lines at all. We took our time looking through the exhibits and vendors. And then we ate at the fast food place, the quick service place out at ESPN there. So I forget the name of it, but has a little salad and fries there. So it was pretty decent food.
Yeah, I've eaten there myself. They have a huge hot dog there. If you ever want a big hot dog, ESPN at over at it's enormous. It was like a hot dog made for three.
I'm always intrigued to get a hot dog somewhere at Walt Disney World, but this trip I didn't. So save my stomach for that.
It's probably a good call on a race weekend. You want to be careful what you're putting in your body, because you don't want anything coming in and taking you out of the races. All right, so let's talk about the the first race you did was the 10K, right?
My sister. I only did the marathon.
Okay, I thought maybe you ran with her. So how did you get your sister ready for this 10K, knowing what she had to get up early and all that stuff? Did you get out there and cheer? How did the 10K day go?
I'll tell you what, I did not wake up early in the morning to go ahead and cheer, so I'm sorry I didn't do that. But she woke up at whatever time, 2 o'clock, 2:30, whatever. She said that she didn't have a problem waiting for the bus. The bus took her right over. In fact, she was done like at 8:30. She was already back at the resort. So I'm thinking, she won't be back till 10. So I could go ahead to the park, do whatever my own thing is for a while. So I had left the room before she came back on the 10K day.
You didn't? Did you get in trouble for not cheering?
I figured I was so tired after waking up 2 o'clock the morning before and traveling, and not going to sleep early because I didn't get back to the room till 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock that previous evening. Wandered around.
We'll let you off the hook. We'll let you off the hook. Those of us that were doing dopey, we're still tired, 3 weeks later. So I'm just telling you, I'll recover by maybe March. So anyway, so tell me about the time in between, Friday, and you're getting ready to run the marathon on Sunday. So what did you do Friday night, Saturday? Because obviously Sunday you're getting up and running the race. But how did you take advantage of that without wearing yourself out?
Friday. We went to the studios, and then I think we went out to Magic Kingdom, too. So all the places go on the Friday night. That was it was good. I actually went to the Magic Kingdom by myself in the evening, and we wore out the fast passes from the Hollywood Studios, so I knew that we could have the 4th, 5th, whatever fast pass at the Magic Kingdom. So I'm like, I have a fast pass for who? Once I get through the fast pass receptacle, whatever the band, I go ahead onto the app and see what the next fast pass I could get. Ooh, Haunted Mansion. Ooh, go through the Haunted Mansion line, go to the next fast pass I can get. So I did that and was able to ride like 5 or 6 rides within an hour and a half out there at Magic Kingdom that evening.
And that's a great tip for anybody that's heading down to Walt Disney World is that, and I did this as well over marathon weekend, is that when you go to another park earlier in the day and you use up your 3 fast passes that you don't have to schedule all 3, but if you have 3 scheduled and you use them up or the time has passed for those passes, if you hop over to the Magic Kingdom in the evening, that's really where you can start just scheduling 1 fast pass at a time, because as soon as you redeem the first one, even while you're waiting in that last part of the queue to get on the attraction vehicle, you can start scheduling the second one. So basically, while you're waiting about that last 5 minutes before you ride the initial attraction, you're basically standing in line for the next selection that you pick. So you can really be efficient and get around the parks. And we did that one night and maybe used 8 or 9 fast passes, from the afternoon into the evening. And it works really well. It kind of takes a lot of stress out. And really, a lot of times you get to go from attraction to attraction to attraction without waiting in line. So that's a great strategy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So that was Friday. And Saturday we did Epcot in the in the morning. We started off the Epcot, and the Lizards had a meet at the one of the hotels in Epcot area. So we went to that, and we worked our way to Magic Kingdom with our fast passes there. We rode the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, got to hit that. And my sister was, she got the annual pass for the first time, and she was able to look at the photo pass that comes with the annual pass, and she's like, oh my god, do you see this video they have for Mine Train on part of that? So she shared that she just loved the special effects they put on the photos for the photo pass.
Yeah, I'm so glad they're doing little special, things like that for annual pass holders. They'll do those magic shots and the surprise videos. They do them on Tower of Terror as well, sometimes. And they're fun. Like you said, I mean, when you see it there, I get excited. I had a little picture from Marathon Weekend where it was a static picture of us standing in front of the castle, but there was an animated Minnie and Mickey that came up and just kind of looked like they were taking our picture. It was, it's something that doesn't really cost Disney anything, but it made my day. It was a little bit of that magic because, that's why we go.
Yeah, it's adorable. And then we also have Fast Pass for Peter Pan's Flight. So it's one of those rides that you would either have to wait an hour and a half because of slow-moving rides or get that Fast Pass. So it's fortunate to get Fast Pass for Peter Pan's Flight. Yeah, then after we were done with the Magic Kingdom, we made our way out to Fort Wilderness Campground for the Trails End Dinner out there. so met up with you guys there. And then we made our way back to the resort and retired for the evening, so I can wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning for the marathon.
It's not even early. It's just getting up really, really late. Let me ask you real quick, what did you think about Trails Inn? Because I'd like to get some restaurant reviews on here, first takes on that. So what were your thoughts on that restaurant?
I liked it, and with the trip we're taking in April, really of all the restaurants at Epcot, for my brother-in-law and my nephew, they're really picky eaters, so figure let's go ahead to Trails Inn and during our Easter break and go to that restaurant because it got pretty much standard dishes that anybody would be able to eat. And then we could go ahead and check out the campground there, the Tri-Circle D Ranch and whatever other facilities they have out there. Because when we're out there, we were waiting at the restaurant to get the seat. By the time we left, it was already dark. But I know what's out there. So we're going to try to go out there during our spring break trip and take advantage of some of the things out there at the Fort Wilderness.
Great strategy. And you'll have a lot more light that time of year. We were there. It seemed like it was dark all the time while we were there. It was crazy. All right. So let's talk about your marathon journey. This is a big deal. It's awesome. And I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of all of our Lizards running squad. But you mentioned, you get up in the middle of the night, you get ready to get on a bus. But for this marathon, let me just tell everybody, it was COLD for Florida. It was cold. So tell me about what you remember from the 26.2 on Sunday.
We stood in the staging area. I remember meeting with some of the other Lizards. We were meeting there then with the guys trying to light the torches, the heating torches.
Yeah.
And they would not light because it was too windy, but people were still huddled around them. So I remember that. So it seems like we were waiting out there for 3 or 4 hours in the cold. Then we make our trek out to the actual corrals, and that's when it seemed like it was much colder with the wind coming through the roadway where the corrals were. And I was in Corral L, so the race started at 5:30, and my corral was like, go at 6:15. So
patience is a virtue. That's right. It's a long time.
Yeah. And I had two T-shirts on, a long sleeve T-shirt, toboggan on my head. I had sweatpants on. So some of these clothes I intended to toss when I get warm. So we made the first 5 miles to Magic Kingdom. And I used the restroom there. Took a selfie of myself with the Cinderella's castle in the background. So nice. We made the loop around. And mile 7, I disposed of my toboggan hat. And so it was still cold and made it to halfway through the race, 13.1. At Animal Kingdom, I got rid of my sweatpants. Feeling good. So that first half of the race was pretty slow, because of the amount of people and the amount of space that you have there, particularly going up to the Magic Kingdom and the parking lot area of Animal Kingdom. So made it to mile 15, and it seemed like my upper leg muscles locked up. I'm like, please don't give up on me. We're about halfway through, but I did the Jeff Galloway run, walk, run. I was doing a 30-second run, 30-second walk. So I kept with that strategy for the entire second half of the race. Got to ESPN, Wide World Sports. That wind just whipped through that whole facility there. We're back there for 3 or 4 miles. And that wind, that's all I was thinking of. And finally got out of there, go to Hollywood Studios. I'm thinking, wow, get to the studios here. It's just another 5K race. So just think of that. So actually, I split my race into that one half marathon, another half marathon, then a 10K, then a 5K, then got to be into Epcot the last turn to go, I guess, where Canada or England, making that last turn, thinking, almost done. And that is when I almost hit the wall. Like, just another mile, just another mile. Then I was just falling going to that last quarter mile, thinking, I got this, I got this.
Yeah, it's emotional once you hit that point, because when you mentioned, like, when you come into Epcot back at World Showcase by the UK, and there are just swarms of people as you make that first turn onto this on stage there in the UK, and to see those people cheering you on, and they have really dramatic background loops playing super loud, not the typical stuff, and then you get to run that promenade around World Showcase, and there's just people cheering you on, strangers, and the thing is you are mentally drained by this point. You have fought with yourself 18 times as to why you're doing this. But at this point, you know you're going to make it. There's people cheering for you. You're in your favorite place. It's beautiful. You're in Epcot. And it's emotional. I'm telling you, it breaks you down. You know what gets me, Rich, is hitting that gospel choir right before the finish line, right after Spaceship Earth. When I see that, boy, I'm just like, just take me now. I am in heaven. I have a gospel choir singing me into the finish line. This is a pretty good day.
Yeah. There was a lot of entertainment on the course, and typically, if I do any run, really, I'll keep my earbuds in, I'm playing some sort of music, some upbeat music, but I started, like, for 5 minutes with music, and it's the first entertainment encounter, like, this is good, I'm going to turn the music off, but I'm going to keep my Runkeeper app going to 30-30 intervals, and for the whole race, I did not play any music. So I was just listening to the music, just looking at the characters, entertainment off the side. But there was one entertainment stop that I went to, and that was the extinct ride. So I go look, and I see this big nautilus around the bend. I'm like, oh, that's a nautilus. What's it doing there? Then I see the sign, and it was the nautilus Snow White Ride vehicle, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride vehicle, and one of the air, whatever it is.
The Star Jets. Yeah, that was neat. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, so I stopped for that because that's something I remembered when I was a kid going to Walt Disney World. And I'm like, oh, I have to do this. But the whole course was entertaining, and it just did not boggle my mind that I actually was doing 26 miles till I got 25 mile points. Like, oh my God, really? Really?
It is. It's all mental. And that was a really cool, special thing that I was not expecting was they called it like the historic alley or something. And what it was, there's a point in the race for the full marathon where you're leaving the Magic Kingdom, you're headed to Animal Kingdom, and you got to go past the waste treatment plant, which doesn't smell the best. And it's not the most exciting part of property to run through. So they put that on that road. And it was really neat. I really enjoyed seeing, I didn't stop, but I went through there kind of slowly. And also enjoyed the Toad vehicle. That was very cool to see. And I do just like you. I tend to have something playing usually, but during the races, I'll have my earbuds in, but I'll just have Runkeeper running with no other sounds because I like to hear the marching bands. I like to hear the drum cadence. I like to hear the cheerleaders and all that stuff. You know, it's the environment. It's the spectators yelling for you. I'm never going to get that running around St. Louis, so I'm going to enjoy that while I'm down in Florida. So I think we're thinking alike there, that Disney does a good job of keeping us entertained, and you don't necessarily need anything else on the outside.
I agree.
Cool. Well, hey, Rich, I appreciate you taking the time. Hey, congratulations on that full marathon. That is that's one for the records, and I hope to run many other races with you. Good luck in April down at Darkside, and have a great trip over Easter as well. I appreciate your time today.
Oh, we're not doing Darkside.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm signing you up.
Did
you?
You didn't.
Oh, sorry. Well, you know what? I just signed you up. You got to run. No, I'm just kidding you. You're good. You're off the hook. I appreciate it, Rich.
Don't worry. I'll stuff running down there while I'm down there.
That's right. That's what we do. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show. And don't forget, today's episode brought to you by The Wisdom of Walt. So drop by Amazon today. Pick up a hard copy, soft cover, ebook, or audio versions of The Wisdom of Walt. You need to be inspired. You love Walt Disney. You love Disneyland. It's all in this book by Jeff Barnes. Just pick it up. It's a great time to pick up a book. We're in the dead of winter. Just get inspired. And it's The Wisdom of Walt. Drop by Amazon today. And with The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. And also check out touringplans.com. Make your next trip better, whether you're heading to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal. They're going to save you time and keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on that upcoming vacation. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we have a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for downloading the show. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. So for Rich, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.